Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bible apps to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And for those of you still in the 20th century, go ahead and open your paper Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right? That's my memory code. Colossians chapter 1, Pastor Hiroshi preached on Colossians 1:6 this morning, so I'm ahead of him still. We're going from verse 9 through 14. While you're turning there, two quick things. Number one, worship is great. I love the music and the singing time. And just so you know, we're on YouTube. And if you were ever lacking in worship time during the week for whatever reason, you can just do a Mitaki worship search on YouTube, and we'll be one of the first videos up there. We've got Roy sitting there playing the clarinet, and Keiko playing the viola, and all the good stuff. It's great. Not like professional, beautiful sound, crisp, clear quality, but it's Mitaki. And it's great. So me and my sons were jamming out to that this morning. So there's that. Also, there's the Facebook page. Please join us there. I love reading your status updates. Also, the second thing was next week we will do mission. Oh, excuse me. All right. We've got Pastor Kevin preaching. All right. So then that means Mission Sunday will be the one after that. All right. Sounds great. Thanks, Pastor Kevin. Sounds good. Oh, and that's great because Jim is going to be back from Cambodia that week. So, yeah, perfect timing. Wonderful. The Lord works it all out. So, get your wallets and your bank accounts ready for Mission Sunday in a couple of weeks. Okay. Well, also good to be back with you. Missed you guys last week. I was in Otake losing basketball games. So, it's nice to be here. Okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14. Let's read it together, all together. Ready? Go. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The very words of God. Amen. So, I miss you. I really do. I miss you every time I'm away. I think of you all week. I know it sounds kind of creepy because you're not my wife, but you are the bride of Christ, and God puts you on my mind more often than I would like. But He says, Chris, pray for your people, pray for my people, lift them up. And I'm always intently listening when testimonies are being given, prayer requests are being shared. I always want to join every Bible study, every prayer meeting, every ladies' fellowship, every men's gathering. I want to be everywhere just to be with you and to to share life with you. And I can't. So my prayer is, Lord, and as much as I can't be with my people, Lord, be with them by your Spirit. And I share that with you not to puff myself up, but I want you to know that's Paul's heart for the Colossians here. Paul says in verse 9, oh, I wish I could be with you. Oh, I think of you so often, and I pray for you always. And when I read that, one, I'm encouraged as a pastor, but I'm also challenged because can I say that? Can I say that I pray for you always? And that's always on my my heart. Because here's the deal. Paul has never met these people. He's met their pastor. He knows Epaphras, their servant, their pastor. And Epaphras loves his people so much, he sees a growing evil in his church. He sees people about to be led away from Jesus towards their own idols. And we'll unwrap that as we go further into Colossians. But Epaphras has taken a long journey to find his pastor, Paul, who taught him in the Lord, and is saying, Paul, what do I do about my church? They're good people. They love Jesus. They're changing. They're transforming. But there's these people coming in that I don't know how to deal with. And Paul says, let's pray, Epaphras. Let's lift them up and let's pray and let's bring them before God. And then I'll write a letter too. And what is so good is God gives us Paul's prayer. God shows us exactly what Paul is praying. So I love it because for me as a pastor, I know how to pray for you. Not just a list of needs that you have. Not just his daughter, their son, the school, this company, this situation. But I feel like God is saying, this is what my people really need. And if you ask for this, you're asking according to my will. And God is saying, an answer to this prayer is an answer to many prayers. This is the heart of it. This is the center of it. And so I want to unwrap that today in this prayer that we have just read. And as I was thinking about it, meditating, studying it this week, whew, it filled me. It fed me, and I'm excited. I'm looking forward to preaching it today. So, Paul is praying for these people, and there's three things that he's praying for. He's praying for their wisdom. He's praying for their strength. And he's praying for their joy. Three words there. The knowledge of God's will, their strength according to God's power, and their joy from God's salvation. Their head, their hands, and their heart. The head being the wisdom, the hands being the strength, the heart being their joy. And I want to hit all three today, God willing. So first is their head. And he says, I'm praying for you. And I'm praying, number one, for your knowledge. Because 90% of the prayer requests that come out of this microphone up in here is for wisdom, right? I need wisdom on what to do. And not just what to do, but when to do it. I need to know God's will. And you know what? Even if I don't know God's will, I want God's will to be done. And I need that knowledge. And I need God's Spirit. And so we're praying all the time. And Paul knows that. And Paul says, that's exactly what you need to live this life as a Christian. Because the more we walk day to day, from Monday to Saturday to Sunday to Saturday, we understand we don't know anything. We are clueless as to what's really... We think we have a handle on these things. We think we know, but there's those days, there's those seasons where you just think, I had no idea, I still have no idea, what am I doing? And so Paul is saying, I'm praying for you that what? That you will have the knowledge of God's will. So there's two things I want to hit on. God's will and a life worthy of God. The two W's there. God's will, first of all. How do you know the will of God? The Bible is clear all throughout. The will of God, number one, is in the Word of God. All I have is this bulletin. I wish I had a Bible, it'd be more clear. But look in front of you, what you have in your hand, that's the will of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, training in righteousness. The word, you want to know what God wants in your situation? Go back to the Word, my friend. Go back to Genesis all the way to Revelation. It's there. I'm going to be teaching, God willing, a Bible class to a large group of students coming in April. I'm preparing for it now. Toshie helped me with the translation of the pamphlet. And one of the things I'm going to do is say, what do you want to ask God? If you had any question you could ask God, what would it be? And my intent is to say, whatever question you have, we're going to find it in the Bible. We're going to find an answer. We're going to find something in the Scriptures. My friend, God, He has His word for you. Here's what I had. I was talking to a colleague the other day. He's a Buddhist. And he's saying, Chris, you're going to teach the Bible? Oh, really? I mean, God is so big. God is so mysterious. How can you say that you know about God? We can't know about God. He's too big for us to know. And I said, yeah, you're absolutely right. God is too big for us to even fathom. That's why He has to come to us and tell us about Himself. I said, look, if I had not come to Japan, you would never know who I was. You wouldn't know who I am or what makes me who I am. If God had never come to us and given us His word, we never would have known who He was. Yes, we see nature. Yes, we see creation. Yes, we understand some about God, but He wants us more to know Him more deeply. And so He gives us His word. The will of God is in the Word of God. Amen? But not just the Word of God, but is it, the will of God is in the people of God. How do I know that? You look from the beginning to the end. You look at the book of Genesis. A man like Joseph, given the Spirit of God. And even the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, knew, oh yeah, he knows God. The Spirit of God is in him. And Joseph was able to speak the word and the will of God to Pharaoh, to the other prisoners around him. Not just Joseph, but also who? Melchizedek, the priest of Abraham. There's Moses, who had the Spirit of God, and God spoke through Moses to Pharaoh. There's Joshua, who got the Spirit of God after Moses. There's David, the king, who wrote Psalms that are impactful to us today. There's the prophets, you name them all. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Amos, Malachi. I'm all out of order, but still, God spoke through His people. He took His Spirit and He put it in men and He spoke. And He gave His will through His people. You think it ended with Malachi? No. There was a man named John the Baptist, filled with the Spirit of God, spoke the will of God. The kingdom of God is here. Spoke through Paul, spoke through the apostles. You think that's finished? No. I love it. Yesterday we had a women's fellowship. And over in Cokeside, the cafe there. That's just ladies getting together, loving each other, speaking, having fun together. That's God being in women, in people. And I know God spoke to somebody yesterday. I know God helped somebody yesterday. I know there's a Bible study in Hito on Saturday nights. I know that in those interactions, in that fellowship time, God is speaking to somebody. I know that after this service, we'll go downstairs, most of us. We'll have fellowship time. We'll talk to each other. And in the midst of how's the weather, it's very cold, how's your sick, how's the knee, how's the neck, blah, 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 there's going to be real conversations. And God is going to be speaking to us through us. God's will is in his word and in his people. But then Jesus gives us a little bit more. He says in chapter 14 and also chapter 16 of John, the seminal teaching on the Holy Spirit given to us by God himself, I'm sending my spirit to be in you, to walk with you. Isaiah put it this way. He said, you're going to walk and you're going to turn to the left or to the right, and you're going to hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. The Spirit of God speaks to you. And so Paul, well, let's go back to Colossians. I'm praying that you have the knowledge of the will of God through the wisdom and understanding that comes from who? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. He's in you, believer. He's with you, Christian. Listen. Wait. Why, oh downcast, oh my soul? Why so downcast within me? Be strong. Take heart and wait on the Lord. I'm going to get to that a little bit more, but some of us, you need to hear that now. The Spirit of God is waiting for you to wait on him to speak to you. The word of God, the will of God. That's what we need. But then there's an interesting word that Paul says here, that you will live a life worthy of God. And I've seen that other places in the New Testament, a life worthy of God. What does that mean? And I was stuck on that for a minute. I checked it out in the Greek. It's this word where if you have a scale here on the balance, it basically means the thing that's lighter gets heavy enough to match the heavier one. And let's say that God is on this side of the scale and you're on this side of the scale. To have a life worthy of God means your life gets heavier with the will of God. And it matches up. That's the image that Paul is invoking there. And what does that mean? What does that mean? I have a friend I was talking to a few weeks ago. He said, Chris, you know, I'm working and living here in Japan. The weird thing is, when I leave Japan, it's like things get brighter. Things are lighter. We took a trip. This is my friend speaking. Me and my wife, we took a trip a few weeks ago. When we left Japan, we stopped fighting. The air between us was just nicer. And then in the plane coming back into Japan, we felt heaviness on us. Just being in this country. Now you're laughing, so I know that's what you feel too. And I thought, well, that's one of two things that could be just the soy sauce in the air, just oppressing you, you know, the seaweed, the nori smell. That's what I felt when I came here. Or, oh, it's real. There's a darkness. There's a heaviness. There's a pressure. And so I thought, you know what? But you're still here. You're living in Japan. You're working in Japan. You're ministering in Japan. And he wasn't complaining about the heaviness. He was just saying, it's just heavy here. And I thought, all right, well, what does that mean? So I had an image in my head. I want you to think of the sea, the ocean. And I'll think of two kinds of vessels that go out into the ocean. There's two kinds. There's boats. And boats are made to go on the surface of the sea, to have the sun and the wind and the waves, to be out there. They're meant to be on top of the water. Maybe a little bit under the water, but mostly on top. Those are boats. Then there's another vessel. They're called submarines. And submarines aren't supposed to be up there at the top. They're meant to go down. where it's dark, where it's heavy, where there's pressure. That's what they're made for. That's what they're built to do. Sometimes they go up to the top. They get a little wash, they get some air, they get some rest, they go to the dock. But they're not meant to be. If a submarine stays up at the top, what good is it? Right? So the submarine is built to go to. So when the submarine is down in that pressure, in the darkness, in the cold, in the low, it's living a life worthy of a submarine. You tracking with me? And Paul says, you are meant to live a life worthy of God. Now God's got a life that's just for you. God has a life that you need, that you're supposed to be walking in. God has a life that, okay, it's not supposed to be sunshine all the time. Maybe it's actually going to be dark. Maybe it's going to be a little bit heavy. Maybe it's going to be lonely. But if that's the will of God for your life, that's a life worthy of God. Now, how do you deal with that heaviness? How do you deal with that pressure? You need the Spirit of God to give you the wisdom, the understanding, and you walk with the Spirit through His Word, and you walk, and you live. And what happens is you find it's dark, it's hard, it's heavy, but you're pleasing God. You know it. There's a pleasure in God. And then there's fruit. You're bearing fruit. And oh, if I had time, I would talk about that fruit. I don't have it. But you're bearing fruit. And here's, but I'll tell you this. What's the fruit? It's in that next line. It's not so much the joy, the love, the peace, the patience. It's actually right in that next line. He says, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. What's the blessing? What's the favor? What's the result? The end, the meat, the end of it all? It's not all these blessings and the good life and in the sunshine. It's God Himself. You know God Himself. My all in all. My all in all. So Paul is praying, I pray that you know the will of God so that you can live a life worthy of God. Be encouraged, my friend. Some of you submarines, you're trying to live out on the surface. You need to repent. You don't want to be in the depths. You want to be out on the surface, in the docks, so you're on Facebook all the time. You're on that YouTube, and you're on Instagram, and you're on Vine, whatever. You're wasting your time because you don't want to get. You need to get to the real vine, Jesus Christ. Stop playing and stop messing around in the shallow waters. You're built for something deeper. So repent of that and get down in there. Walk a life worthy of God. And some of you, you need to be encouraged. You're down in there and you need to come up for a little bit. You need some air. And you come to church, and some of you know, I come to church and it's a little bit lighter here. I can breathe a little bit here. I can be with God's people here, and I get it, but I'm here for a couple hours and I go right back out there. And do all you can right here. Stay as long as fellowship allows. You know, get in your coffee and your snacks, but back out into it. And I'm praying for you. The will of God, your mind, your head. Let's talk about the strength, because Paul says you not only need the wisdom, but you need the strength, right? He says what? Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. It's so much here. But basically, what do you need the strength for? You need the strength for what's at the very end there, at verse 11, for that endurance race, that endurance. What's the power? Is it the power to fight? Is it the power to have victory? What's that power? What's that strength? A few weeks ago, my school had a 10K run. All 1,200 students at my school have to run 10 kilometers every year. Whether you're a Chuichi, a first-year junior high school, 12 years old, or you're a Koni, second-year high school, 16, 17 years old. It's February, everybody. And you don't run inside, you run outside, okay? And so what we do is we rent out the soccer stadium up on top of this, the other side of this mountain. And we tell the students, look, it's cold. It might rain. If it rains, kaisan, sayonara. You don't have to run. But if it snows, yush, we're going to run, okay? Because you can run in the snow. You can't run in the rain. I don't know. But anyway, so 1:30, it starts. 1:30, all the students line up. They're in their running PE clothes, you know. And it's cold. All the teachers, we got our hoods and our gloves and our kaido, and we're all, you know, we're warm, we're toasty. The students are like, okay, can we start the run already? Come on. 1:30, pa! Gun goes off, and they start running. All morning, there's no rain, no snow. Once that gun goes off, boom, little snow starts to fall on the ground. Just a little bit of snow. 5 minutes later, the snow's falling down. Students are just running around. 20 minutes later, the snow is falling down, just sideways all over the place. And you, have you ever run 10 kilometers? It takes a long, the fast ones, they'll finish, what, 35 minutes, 32 minutes? That's for the runners. The regular folks, maybe 40 minutes, 45 minutes. The slow ones, it's a good hour, an hour run, okay? I'm getting to the scripture. Just give me a minute, okay? So, now here's the thing. The fast ones, they're done in 35 minutes. The fastest one was like 37 something, okay? That's great. He had the power. He had the strength to finish and finish strong. The average ones were finished around 40, 42, and they're coming in breathing hard. Now, all the teachers, all the faculty, we were positioned around the course just in case somebody felt sick, somebody collapsed or whatever. We were there, you know, if somebody had to pick them up by car, all that kind of stuff. My station was the last station at the very end, the last 200 meters. So I saw all the students when they were finishing the race. Now, the fast ones, they were, hustling. And they had power. They had strength. They had energy. But then there was the last ones to finish. This is an hour after the gun had gone off. And oh, bless their souls. They were running for so long, they had snow on their hair and on their foreheads. Some of it was ice. Some of them, they had glasses. They had snow on their hair, ice on their forehead, and fog in their glasses. They were running blind. God bless. I was like clapping. Go! Come on! You can fit 200 more meters. You can do it. Did they need energy? Did they need the strength? Who needed the more strength? Who needed the more power? The ones who've been running a long time. The Christian life, the life worthy of the Lord, it's not a 100-meter dash. You know that. You know that. You need endurance and patience. You need the strength of God. You need your pastor praying for you. God, give them strength according to your glorious might. Not just to have power to say, "Pah!" but power to finish with endurance and patience. Some of you, you've been waiting so long. You had your issues with him. You had your problems with them. You had this thing bothering you for years, tens of years. You've been praying and praying. How long, O Lord? You need endurance. That comes from the power of God. I'm praying with you. Hang in there. The answer is not coming tomorrow. The answer is not coming next week. I just read an article sent to me by Tim about my neck problems. This thing is not going to be solved tomorrow. I'm praying that it does. I'm praying. I believe. Get your oil. Anoint me. Do whatever you can. And I pray believing that God will heal this thing soon. If not, I need endurance. I need patience. Pray for me. Okay. So Paul prays for our mind, our heads, for the will of God to be revealed to us through the Spirit. He prays for our hands, our strength, to endure some of these long struggles. Hang in there. Your power comes from the Lord. But then where does that power come from? Nehemiah tells us, the joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. Okay? So then Paul moved. Paul is thinking now. You just got to follow Paul's thinking. He's thinking, oh, Lord, I'm praying for them. Give them wisdom to do your will. And then while they're doing your will, they need your strength, Lord God, so that they can endure. And then, Lord, I pray that they would have joy. All right. That's a phone call from the Lord. And then Paul is thinking, the will of God is revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And the strength comes from the Spirit as well. So that's this whole life in the Spirit. But then he gets to joy. Giving thanks, giving joyful thanks to the Father. And all that thought from verse 12 all the way to verse 14, where does that joy come from? It comes from being qualified. It comes from, 13, being rescued. It comes from, verse 14, being redeemed. And it comes from being forgiven. I don't have time. I need to get right to it. The joy is in salvation. Oh, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Some of you need wisdom, and I'm praying that you do, that you get it from the Spirit of God. Some of you need strength, and I'm praying that you get it from the power of God. Some of you, you're miserable. Or you're not miserable, you're bored. There's no joy. Maybe you get a new device, you have a little happiness. Maybe you get some new clothes, a little happiness. There's no joy. There's no deep, down, life-changing, life-giving, transform joy. And so you need to look at those four words: rescued, redeemed, forgiven, qualified. That's your salvation. Now, I don't have all this time, but there's five things. The Bible is a book of images, of pictures. In the New Testament, for all you Bible trivia people, there's five images that God gives us in the New Testament that describe what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be saved. Three of them are given to us right here in two verses. Amazing. And so one of them is what's called adoption. Adoption is when a stranger becomes a son. When someone who doesn't have my last name, who came from someone I never knew, someone poor, naked, abandoned, now takes my name. And what he does now is, because he has my name, he has equal status with my son. And as my son, he gets my wealth. He becomes an heir of my wealth and a co-heir with my son. Now, who gets that? It's all the sons of God. We have an inheritance of this of the holy people. It's called adoption. Some of you, I just need you to know, because there's no joy in your life. You were never in the family of God. But God, in his kindness, in his grace, adopted you and gave you a name, the name of his son. Now you are qualified. And you are qualified to share an inheritance. There's adoption, where a stranger becomes a son. The other word is redemption. Redemption is actually the word rescued in verse 13. That word there means, what did that word mean? So many pictures, excuse me. I'm losing my thought, I don't have my notes with me. Ah, yes, okay. It was a slave who became free. It was a slave that had no freedom, that had to do what his master told him to do, otherwise he couldn't live. But then somebody came in and paid for that slave to be free. It's redemption. It's redemption. Jesus said in John chapter 8, if anybody has sinned, he is a slave to sin. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If you're saved, if you're a Christian, you've been set free. You had somebody who ruled over you. It was called the dominion of darkness. You could not get out by your own power. You tried to get out. You looked for the exit. You tried to claw your way out. But then God said, no, that's not enough. I'm going to have to reach down myself and pull you right out and redeem you. Some of you, your life was meaningless. It was darkness. It was shameful. It was pathetic. It was meaningless. And God said, that life, I'm going to give it meaning. I'm going to give it purpose. I'm going to give it worth. I'm going to make it a beautiful life. And he redeemed your life out of that. That's being saved. Think on that and find some joy. Think on that and sing about it. Think on that and be changed by that. That's your salvation. Another part of giving joyful thanks is there, it says forgiveness. That's another beautiful picture. The word forgiveness is the word for debt. It's the money. And for those of you who don't have money, it's okay. But for those of you who do have money, you know what this means. When you look, when you open up that envelope and it says you owe this much money. And it's 0000000 and the big old number on there. And you think, how in the world will I ever pay that off? Idea of a debt. So here's the thing. If there's no joy in your life, you don't really know what your sins have been forgiven of. Here's another way to put it. If you think that you're a Christian, okay, I'm a Christian. I can do whatever I want. I'm forgiven. It means you are actually not forgiven. You don't know what forgiveness means. Because you think you can do whatever you want. But if you're somebody who says, what? I'm forgiven? That thing I did, that trouble I caused, that misery I was a part of, that's forgiven? Then maybe you're forgiven. Because the ones who are really forgiven, they never want to sin again. They look at that sin and they hate it. They look at that misery and they know it was misery. And they say, never again by the grace of God. And they think, wait a second, all that guilt I had, it's gone. The shame I was carrying all around me, I am not divorce. I am not adultery. I am not failure. That's not me. I'm free. I'm forgiven. Wow. And out of that comes a joy that the world didn't give, so the world can't take it away. And so you give thanks. Out of that joy is a thankful heart and a praise. I'm praying for some of you because some of you, your faces are so dull, your faces are so dark and depressed, and you need the joy of the Lord. You need to be reminded that your sins have been forgiven, that you have become a son of God, that you have been redeemed. And out of that will come joy. I'm praying for you because God wants you to be a person of joy. God wants that. Yes, we confess sin. Yes, we repent. Yes, we walk soberly and humbly before God. But there is a joy in us that the world cannot take. So that's what we're praying for. I'm hoping you pray for me too. I need strength. I need wisdom. I need joy too. I need to go every day to Jesus and thank him for the salvation he's given me. So let's pray. Oh Lord God, there's some in here who need wisdom. You said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask and not doubt. So Lord, we need wisdom. We need to know this life that's worthy of the Lord. We need to know it, God. We're simple. We're foolish. We don't seek you, but Lord, you sought us. You call to us. You provide for us wisdom, Lord God. And I ask that, Lord, for my people. Some of us in here, Lord God, we need strength. This race is longer than we thought. And we want to give up. And Lord God, we need to endure. We need your strength to help us, God. So Lord, according to all of your glorious might, Lord, we need your power. Would you grant us that grace in Jesus' name, Lord? And then, Lord, some of us, Lord, we need to rejoice again. Lord, we need to sing again, Lord. But we also need to remember our salvation, Lord God. We've been called, we got transferred from darkness to light. We had our debt paid. We've become children of the God of heaven. Oh God, remind us of these things, Lord. Make it real to us once more. Show us, Lord God, that we would be people of joy, of rejoicing, Lord God. We thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray that it will feed us, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.